Well, we're glad to be here this evening, and glad to see so many who have come along to the meeting tonight. We thank you sincerely for coming, and we trust that the word that we will look at together might be a blessing to each heart and soul. And for any who would be with us tonight and as yet they don't know the Savior, may that even this night someone might get to know the Lord Jesus as their very own. So we're glad to see you, and we're glad to be here and have this privilege of making known the Word of God. Now, as you know, during the past evenings in different places, we have been thinking on the life of Joseph, that we would continue in that tonight. Now, could we turn, please, again to the book of Genesis and chapter 40. We finished last evening over in the hall at Fairview at the end of chapter 39. So we're looking at the beginning of chapter 40 of the book of Genesis, and in the will of the Lord we would probably continue this on the Monday evening as well down there in Woodland. So remember that also. Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. Came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in war. Now, we'll not read the dreams, but we'll refer to them as we go along. But look down, please, to verse 14, where Joseph says to the butler, verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Chapter 41, verse 1, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. The ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." Then, of course, we find following that how the butler remembers. Verse 14, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh relates to him the dreams, and Joseph, no doubt, interprets the dreams. Now look down to verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. He gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now that'll do us for our reading, quite a bit, and quite a lot more we could read, but for the sake of time. Joseph is now in the prison house, the dungeon in Egypt. Innocent, no doubt, yet condemned and put in the prison. We have discovered how that the reality that the Lord was with him again and again is evident from the scriptures as it tells us. And of course, not only in the house of Potiphar did Joseph rise to prominence and to position, but we discover that the same thing also happened in the prison. Because the keeper of the prison put everything into his hand. Now that's an amazing thing in itself. I was thinking of this in relation to the centurion. The centurion who had the control, could you put it, in a sense of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. He was the one that was in command of the soldier. And yet, just like the jailer, the jailkeeper here that discovered something wonderful in Joseph, so the centurion discovered something wonderful in the heavenly Joseph. You remember how he could say, surely this was a righteous man? You remember how he could say that this was the Son of God. And you can see the picture, can't you? The prison house in Egypt, the suffering in the dungeon. But the keeper realizes that there's something about Joseph. And the centurion responsible for the crucifixion realizes there's something about the man on the middle cross. And we know tonight that there's something about that man on the middle cross. We know this evening that he has won our hearts. He has changed our lives. The man that died for me. Sometimes we sing, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. We trust tonight that if you're in the meeting not saved, that all that the Lord Jesus might win your heart tonight. Now, very briefly and simply, we have brought before us here in chapter 40 the inmates, if you could use that expression, the butler and the baker. And we find that they are put in prison and that Joseph is here in the midst of the butler and the baker. Surely we can see a picture there of the two thieves. the one that hung on either side. How the scripture tells us Jesus in the midst. Isaiah 53 reminds us that he was numbered with the transgressors and he bare the sin of many. We can see the butler and the baker, Joseph in the midst, the heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus, in the midst of the thieves on the cross, numbered with the transgressors. It's an amazing story. The dreams that come into the scriptures again. You know, the life of Joseph. There are an amazing recurrence of dreams. There are Joseph's dreams. There are the dreams here of the butler and the baker. And then there are the dreams that Pharaoh had. Very interesting in relation to dreams. And the great messages that came out of them, the prophetic outlook that is from the dream. Well, you know, the butler and the dream, he had the vine, the three branches that budded, that blossomed, the clusters of grapes that were crushed into the cup and that were given to Pharaoh again. And you remember how that he related this to Joseph, and Joseph brought before him the interpretation that, of course, those three branches were 3 days, and that in 3 days he would be lifted up, his head would be lifted up and restored again to his former position as the cupbearer. And Joseph says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee." Now we'll have a little look at that in a minute. But there's the dream of the butler. And then of course the baker, he is a dream. And again he asks Joseph, and he relates it to Joseph, of the three baskets on his head. On the top basket there was all different types of baked meats. And the birds of the air came and they ate the different baked meats out of the basket. And he brought the interpretation that again the three baskets are 3 days and you're going to be lifted up. But this time he was going to be hanged. And the birds of the air were going to come and eat his flesh. Now can you see it? The butler and the baker. The two thieves, the butler restored to prominence and blessing, the baker, the tragedy and the awfulness of his end. You know, I was reminded, surely, and we are reminded of one of those thieves that went to paradise and the other that went to perdition. The one who repented and the one who didn't. And surely there is a picture in the consequences in relation to the butler and the baker. But you know, the amazing thing is this, that he forgot all about Joseph. And time has rolled its course. The butler is back again in his position there in the palace, the king's cupbearer, but down in the dungeon, Joseph is still there. He's still there. The butler, the baker, has been hanged and the birds of the air have devoured him. But time goes on. The prison house is still his. He forgot all about him. You know, there is not only the thought here of the inmates, and there's the interpretation that's brought before us, but we see Joseph again, his innocence that he makes known. He says, down there in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 40. The last phrase of verse 15, he says, "And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." You've just got to see the picture here. The others are gone. One is back in position. The other has gone into eternity. But Joseph is still in the dungeon. And he's still innocent. Now I've just got to think for a little moment of who he is. Who he is? Well, he's Jacob's beloved son, you know. And he's still there. The son of his old age. He's the one, you know, that Jacob's affections were centered on and were showered upon. That's who he is. And he's down in the dungeon. I was thinking of the heavenly Joseph. I was thinking of the words of the poet who wrote those words, "Who is he? On yonder tree dies in grief and agony. 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory." This evening, to never forget the man on the middle cross, just who he was, who he is. He's the Lord, the Creator, the Originator, the Sustainer of all things, the Lord of glory. It was Charles Wesley who wrote the words, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" Who he is. Joseph is still the son, the well-beloved, the Savior, the heavenly Joseph. Who he is, you could think of surely where he is. Joseph is in the dungeon. The Lord Jesus, the heavenly Joseph on the cross. Who he is, where he is, how he is. Oh, we saw last evening how that he was laid in iron. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. We think of him upon that middle cross, the Lord Jesus. Isaiah said his visage marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. That's how he is. Marred and marked upon the cross. But why he is? Why is he there? Oh, this evening, maybe someone in the meeting not saved. If you could get the great reality of this, you know in your heart, just why he was there. The heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus. The poet said, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid. And why from his side flowed that sin cleansing tide? If in dying my debt has not paid. Innocence. The Holy One. Who he is. Where he is. How he is. And why he is. The Son of God, Paul said, who loved me and gave himself for me. But very quickly, we can see the ingratitude. Verse 23, how that the chief butler, how he forgot him. What ingratitude. Oh, you know, when I was looking at this again, I thought, just how like human nature this is, always was and still is. How fickle, how feeble. The psalmist said to put not your trust in princes. And you know that little expression simply means that's the best of men. The best of men, you see, are only failures at the best. And it's a staggering thought, isn't it? You know, when I was about 14 or 15, And that's not all that long ago. Believe it or not, I used to think, you know, that this world was really a great place, you know. And I just couldn't see too many problems or difficulties at all. And I just thought everybody was in line and everybody was in step, you know, that type of feeling. Ah, but then you see, you just discover that more and more and more and more, that man, every man, has only got feet of clay. And none of us have good feet that are made of anything else, just clay. And they're prone to fail. And they're prone to miss the mark. And my, we see it here. Oh, he forgot all about it. What ingratitude. I was thinking of the Lord Jesus. You know, didn't he know just what we were like, didn't he? When the bread and the cup instituted that great feast. For the great purpose, do this in remembrance of me until I come. He knew, you know, that the creatures that we were, prone to forget. Prone to forget about them. But all the bread and the cup on the table on the Lord's Day and the first day of the week, that draws us to remember, to think again about him, lest we would forget him. Do this in remembrance of me. But the butler forgot Joseph. So we've got the ingratitude. We've got Pharaoh's dream. Oh, amazing, these dreams, you know. My, the seven fat and well-favored kine rising up out of the river and feeding in the meadow, and the seven lean kine that rise up and they eat up the others, and the seven stalks, you know, the corn, and my rank and good, and the other seven that rise up and are blasted with an east wind and they eat them all up. An interesting study, if you could look at it, about the east wind, you know. Something about the east wind in Scripture tells us, you know, in the book of Exodus and the children of Israel going across the Red Sea, that it blew with an east wind all that night. And here was the east wind that blasted the ears of corn. Pharaoh, you know, is disturbed. First of all, his dreams. And now he's disturbed. I was reminded of a similar story in the book of Daniel. You remember Nebuchadnezzar and his dream? He calls here for all the magicians and all the sorcerers to seek to try and know what it means, and every one of them just comes on a blank. They have no answer. There was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. None. Isn't it amazing, you know, how God just regulates circumstances of great men, men who think. Isn't it amazing, you know, how God just regulates circumstances of great men, men who think, you know, that they are it, and God is nothing. God brings Pharaoh in an amazing way to a position where he listened to anybody, even a prisoner from the dungeon. Isn't that amazing? All the magicians, all the men that he has put so much dependence on over the years in the interpretation of dreams and everything else, they all come to a blank. Not one of them can work it out. And God has his man there as well.
because there's the butler.
And suddenly, somehow, at the right time, just on the right occasion, it clicks, you know. He remembers the dungeon, Joseph, the dreams, the interpretation of the dreams. And somehow, right away, very suddenly, it all comes together. Pharaoh is just at wit's end corner. He's at the point, really at the end of the line. There's nobody else can help him. But there is a man. There's a prisoner. Amazing. That a prisoner, that a king such as Pharaoh would listen to a prisoner. Well, isn't that what happened? Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Oh, I like this. Why, this is the bit, you know, where it all just turns around, doesn't it? Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. There he was, down in the dungeon. All of these circumstances that were his. But now, there is a message that is sent from Pharaoh. Sometimes I try and picture this. As they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Now last night, I mentioned about 5 different coats, and a brother asked me about that. Well, you know, there's 2 coats here in verse 14. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment. You see, he took off the raiment, the coat that he was wearing in the prison, and he changes into another coat to appear before Pharaoh. And then, further down the chapter, we have already read in verse 42, that how he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. So the coat of many colors. Is that that depicts Joseph as the beloved son? The coat that he left in Potiphar's wife's hand is the coat that depicts him as the faithful servant. And here, the coat that now he takes off, the coat that he has worn in the prison, would tell us of him as the lonely sufferer. Now the coat that he puts on and appears before Pharaoh to interpret the dreams is the coat of the seer. He is now using the reality of prophecy. He is telling what is going to happen. And the last coat, the 5th in verse 42, is that of the coat of the sovereign when he becomes ruler over all the land. Now, watch this, very simple. Joseph is brought in. The prison garment is gone. Shaved. Appears in this garment before Pharaoh. He has been brought out of the dungeon. I want you to notice that, verse 14. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Joseph in the dungeon. How long was he there? I'm not sure, honestly. Some would tell us that in working it out, Joseph could have been in the prison house in the dungeon for up to 10 years. A third of his life. From the day that he left the Vale of Hebron, it was downward the whole way. Well, I want you to think of this for a moment. From Hebron, the Vale of Hebron, to Shechem, to Dothan, down to Egypt, to Potiphar's house into the prison, the dungeon. We think of the heavenly Joseph. From glory he came, and down it was the whole way. Philippians 2, that brings before us those steps downward of the Savior. Oh, the amazing thought, down he came. Down from the glory we sometimes sing, the Savior came down to the cross and the death of shame. For Joseph, from the Vale of Hebron to the dungeon, it was downward all the way. For the heavenly Joseph who left the glory to the cross, the down stooping of the heavenly Joseph. He's brought up, peers before Pharaoh. The dreams are related. Joseph interprets them just like that. Ah, but he says something, doesn't he? And this is a little bit I want you to get. In verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not in me." That's very important. "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." My. Joseph's dependence on God. You would think, wouldn't you, that someone in circumstances like this, after having been all of those years in a prison, innocent, but he takes a very humble place, doesn't he? "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And so he brings the interpretation of the dreams before him. The 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And that the 7 years of plenty will be devoured by the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh's listening. There's Joseph standing, 30 years of age now, standing before the greatest ruler, most powerful man in the world in his day. And Pharaoh said in verse 38, "Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou." Joseph, how discreet. My, the dominion that now is his. It has all happened so quickly, hasn't it? You know, if you read this story, it happened from what I can see in the space of a very, very short time. The dungeon. Out of the dungeon. Robed before Pharaoh. Interpreting the dreams. Pharaoh declaring that there is none like him. You know, if that happened to some people, they just couldn't take it, you know. It'd be too much for them. One day, as the morning broke, and at the end of the day, you were ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, it just might go for your ego. And you just mightn't be able to handle it. You just mightn't be able to control it. He was only 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. But he had a lot of training, hadn't he? He had a lot of experience, although he was only 30 years old. What happened? O Pharaoh, took off his ring from his hand. Verse 42, put it on Joseph. Arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, made him to ride in the second chariot. They cried before him, bow to me. He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. The dungeon is past forever. The darkness is past forever. You see, O Lord Jesus, who went into death at Golgotha, and on that evening was buried in that new tomb, and on that third and appointed day, that first day of the week, rose again. And if you follow the scriptures that are used, you will see the amazing steps upward for him. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, how that God hath raised him, whereof we are all witnesses, raised up. And then we read these amazing phrases in Acts chapter 1, that he went up. Now listen to the little word up. He was raised up. He went up. He was taken up. Acts chapter 1 again, verse 11. He was carried up. Luke chapter 24. And he was received up. For him from the cross and its darkness all passed. There was only one way. It was up to the glorious, received up into glory. Not only received up into glory, but we believe received up in glory. Carried up. Luke says, amazing. The idea is of one who is carried off the field in triumph. Because Calvary was the greatest triumph of the ages. The greatest battle ever fought. And the greatest victory ever won. And heaven received him. It was up. The glory that now was. Oh, this evening, if we could just center our thoughts on this for a moment. The exalted position of our Lord Jesus. The amazing picture here in Joseph, from the dungeon, from the prison house to the palace. From a place of being despised, a place of being set at naught, to a place where they bow the knee. Thank God for me. There is a day that's coming, and this gladdens one's heart when they look at Revelation chapter 5. There's a day that's coming when there is going to be universal acclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, it tells us that everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth, all shall extol that he is worthy and he alone. Philippians 2 tells us, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every knee, that of the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. For him, there'll be no more spittles fall upon his feet. No nails again will ever pierce his hands and feet. It's finished forever. It's forever done. The darkness and the suffering is all.
the glorious head. He shall reign and rule universally and eternally. Oh, what a glorious day.
This world, the vast majority and the masses would laugh at that. The masses of this world would think that that is an incredible joke to them.
But we know tonight that the glory that shall be his in the day that's yet to come. But let's look as we close. There's a little word of gospel here, you know.
Joseph's dominion we have looked at, set thee over all the land. Just like Psalm 2, you know, I've set my king, my holy hill of Zion. Ah, but what about his name? Joseph's different name. He's given a name here by Pharaoh. In verse 45, Zaphnath-Paneah. It simply means, you know, Savior of the world. He became that, didn't he? Oh, amazing, when you go down the verses, when you discover just the position that Joseph had, and when they came into Egypt to buy bread, to buy corn, the message was, go to Joseph, the Savior. The Savior, you see that. Saving from the doom of sin. What is the doom of sin? Maybe there's a few here tonight and as yet you're not saved. And you know, in that day that's coming, in that day of glory that shall dawn, you'll be outside. And the awfulness of being outside on that day. But I want to tell you tonight, in this meeting, as we draw to a close, that Joseph here is brought before us as the Savior and the one who shall reign and rule from shore to shore in that coming day. It's an amazing thought tonight. He's willing to be your Savior tonight. Yeah? That he who shall be King of all is willing to save the individual boy or girl, man or woman. Saves from the doom of sin. That's eternal judgment. He saves from the doom of sin immediately. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The moment that a man or woman, boy or girl, repents and believes and receives Christ, you see, there is the great reality of no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No more doom. The penalty is gone. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from its dominion. Its power in one's life, presently. And saved eventually from its presence, its domain. Eternal. Oh, what a Savior. Joseph. What a picture of the Savior. To those Egyptians, Zaphnath-Paneah meant Savior of the world. But you know, to the Hebrews, it meant the revealer of secrets. By the moment you get to know Christ as your Savior, then you'll begin to get to know Him as the one who reveals the secrets of God's heart. Revealer of secrets. Savior. Saving from sin's doom. Saving from its dominion. Saving from its domain. saving sinners, young and old, saving the whosoever will. Saving you tonight. Oh, blessed thought. Christ is the Savior of sinners. We sing, Christ is the Savior for me. I wonder tonight, at the end of this meeting, as we have thought of these amazing things from our Old Testament and related them to the Lord Jesus, are you still a stranger to Him? Are you still outside of His love? Are you still outside of His grace? The glory that we've been thinking about that's coming, that will dawn, that will break, that shall never have an ending. Will you be outside of the glory? Oh, this evening, to be outside of the glory is to be lost. And to be lost is beyond anything that I could tell. Thank God tonight for the heavenly Joseph, the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Can be your Savior. Boy or girl, man or woman, oh, that you would make him yours even tonight. That those of us who know him, that we might appreciate him more and more, and that the glory may draw us closer, because the crowning day is coming by and by. And the despised man of Golgotha, who came to the very depths, the heights will be his throughout eternal ages. May all of us tonight realize just how great he is. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank thee this evening for thy word that we have thought on again. We thank thee for drawing our thoughts to think on the Lord Jesus, who bowed his head so low beneath sin's heavy load. We thank thee that the work is done. The Savior is alive. We thank thee for his present position at God's right hand, and the glory that shall be throughout eternity as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank thee this evening in these words we have brought before us the one who is the Savior. And we feel, Lord, there are some in our meeting tonight, and they need the Savior. Oh, Lord, we just ask thee now, as we part the one from the other, that thou wilt write these things on heart, that there might be a boy or girl, a man or woman this evening, and they might rest their all in the Lord Jesus, and get to know him as the Savior. So we commit ourselves to thee, and ask thy parting blessing in thy precious and worthy name. Amen. 280, could we sing in closing? 280. The Savior lives no more to die. He lives our head enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. 280. And just keep our seats as we sing it together, please.